paradoxes, and time conundrums. Time travel poses all sorts of problems, both technical as well as social. The moral, legal, and ethical issues are raised by Larry Dwyer, who notes, "Should a time traveler who punches his younger self, or vice versa, be charged with assault? Should the time traveler who murders someone and then flees into the past for sanctuary be tried in the past for crimes he committed in the future? If he marries in the past, can he be tried for bigamy, even though his other wife will not be born for almost 5,000 years? But perhaps the thorniest problems are the logical paradoxes raised by time travel. For example, what happens if we kill our parents before we are born? This is a logical impossibility. It is sometimes called the grandfather paradox. There are three ways to resolve these paradoxes. First, perhaps you simply repeat past history when you go back in time, therefore fulfilling the past. In this case, you have no free will. You are forced to complete the past as it was written. Thus, if you go back into the past to give the secret of time travel to your younger self, then it was meant to happen that way. The secret of time travel came from the future. It was destiny. But this does not tell us where the original idea came from. Second, you have free will, so you can change the past, but within limits. Your free will is not allowed to create a time paradox. Whenever you try to kill your parents before you are born, a mysterious force prevents you from pulling the trigger. This position has been advocated by the Russian physicist Igor Novikov. He argues that there is a law preventing us from walking on the ceiling, although we might want to. Hence, there might be a law preventing us from killing our parents before we are born. Some strange law prevents us from pulling the trigger. Third, the universe splits into two universes. On one timeline, the people whom you killed look just like your parents, but they are different because you are now in a parallel universe. This latter possibility seems to be the one consistent with the quantum theory, as I will discuss later when I talk about the multiverse. The second possibility is explored in the movie Terminator 3, in which Arnold Schwarzenegger plays a robot from the future where murderous machines have taken over. The few remaining humans, hunted down like animals by the machines, are led by a great leader whom the machines have been unable to kill. Frustrated, the machines send a series of killer robots back to the past, before the great leader was born, to kill off his mother. But after epic battles, human civilization is eventually destroyed at the end of the movie, as it was meant to be. Back to the Future explored the third possibility. Dr. Brown invents a plutonium-fired DeLorean car, actually a time machine for traveling to the past. Michael J. Fox, Marty McFly, enters the machine and goes back and meets his teenage mother, who then falls in love with him. This poses a sticky problem. If Marty McFly's teenage mother spurns his future father, then they would never have married, and Michael J. Fox's character would never have been born. The problem is clarified a bit by Doc Brown. He goes to the blackboard and draws a horizontal line, representing the timeline of our universe. Then he draws a second line, which branches off the first line, representing a parallel universe that opens up when you change the past. Thus, whenever we go back into the river of time, the river forks into two rivers, and one timeline becomes two timelines, or what is called the many worlds approach, which we will discuss in the next chapter. This means that all time travel paradoxes can be solved. If you have killed your parents before you were born, it simply means you have killed some people who are genetically identical to your parents, with the same memories and personalities, but they are not your true parents. The many worlds idea solves at least one main problem with time travel. To a physicist, the number one criticism of time travel, besides finding negative energy, is that radiation effects will build up until either you are killed the instant you enter the machine, or the wormhole collapses on you. Radiation effects build up because any radiation entering the time portal will be sent back into the past, where it will eventually wander around the universe until it reaches the present day, and then it will fall into the wormhole again. Since radiation can enter the mouth of the wormhole an infinite number of times, the radiation inside the wormhole can become incredibly strong, strong enough to kill you. But the many worlds interpretation solves this problem. If the radiation goes into the time machine and is sent into the past, it then enters a new universe. It cannot re-enter the time machine again and again and again. This simply means that there are an infinite number of universes, one for each cycle, and each cycle contains just one photon of radiation, not an infinite amount of radiation. In 1997, the debate was clarified a bit when three physicists finally proved that Hawking's program to ban time travel was inherently flawed. Bernard Kay, Marek Radzikowski, and Robert Wald showed that time travel was consistent with all the known laws of physics, except in one place. When traveling in time, all the potential problems were concentrated at the event horizon, located near the entrance to the wormhole. But the horizon is precisely where we expect Einstein's theory to break down and quantum effects to take over. The problem is that whenever we try to calculate radiation effects as we enter a time machine, we have to use a theory that combines Einstein's theory of general relativity with the quantum theory of radiation. But whenever we naively try to marry these two theories, the resulting theory makes no sense. It yields a series of infinite answers that are meaningless. This is where a theory of everything takes over. All problems of traveling through a wormhole that have bedeviled physicists, for example, the stability of the wormhole, the radiation that might kill you, the closing of the wormhole as you entered it, are concentrated at the event horizon, precisely where Einstein's theory made no sense. Thus, the key to understanding time travel is to understand the physics of the event horizon, and only a theory of everything can explain this. This is the reason that most physicists today would agree that one way to definitively settle the time travel question is to come up with a complete theory of gravity and space-time. A theory of everything would unite the four forces of the universe and enable us to calculate what would happen when we entered a time machine. Only a theory of everything could successfully calculate all the radiation effects created by a wormhole and definitively settle the question of how stable wormholes would be when we entered the time machine. And even then, we might have to wait for centuries or even longer to actually build a machine to test these theories. Because the laws of time travel are so closely linked to the physics of wormholes, time travel seems to qualify as a Class II impossibility.